I knew there was something wrong, said Vimes, brightening up. And the flame, too. Nothing goes around with that kind of heat inside it. How do swamp dragons manage it? Oh, that's just chemicals, said Lady Ramkin dismissively. They just distill something flammable from whatever they've eaten and ignite the flame just as it comes out of the ducts. They never actually have fire inside them, unless they get a case of blowback. What happens then? You're scraping dragon off the scenery, said Lady Ramkin cheerfully. I'm afraid they're not very well-designed creatures, dragons. Vimes listened. They would never have survived at all, except that their home swamps were isolated and short of predators. Not that a dragon made good eating, anyway. Once you'd taken away the leathery skin and the enormous flight muscles, what was left must have been like biting into a badly run chemical factory. No wonder dragons were always ill. They relied on permanent stomach trouble for supplies of fuel. Most of their brain power was taken up with controlling the complexities of their digestion, which could distill flame-producing fuels from the most unlikely ingredients. They could even rearrange their internal plumbing overnight to deal with difficult processes. They lived on a chemical knife edge the whole time. One misplaced hiccup, and they were geography. And when it came to choosing nesting sites, the females had all the common sense and mothering instinct of a brick. Vimes wondered why people had been so worried about dragons in the olden days. If there was one in a cave near you, all you had to do was wait until it self-ignited, blew itself up, or died of acute indigestion. You've really studied them, haven't you? He said. Someone ought to. But what about the big ones? Golly, yes, they're a great mystery, you know, she said, her expression becoming extremely serious. Yes, you said. There are legends, you know. It seems as though one species of dragon started to get bigger and bigger, and then just vanished. Died out, you mean? No, they turned up sometimes from somewhere, full of vim and vigour, and then one day they stopped coming at all. She gave Vimes a triumphant look. I think they found somewhere where they could really be. Really be what? Dragons. Where they could really fulfil their potential. Some other dimension or something, where the gravity isn't so strong or something. I thought when I saw it, said Vimes, I thought you can't have something that flies and has scales like that. They looked at each other. We've got to find it in its lair, said Lady Ramkin. No bloody flying newt sets fire to my city, said Vimes. Just think of the contribution to dragon lore, said Lady Ramkin. Listen, if anyone ever sets fire to this city, it's going to be me. It's an amazing opportunity. There's so many questions. You're right there. A phrase of Carrot's crossed Vimes's mind. It could help us with our inquiries, he suggested. But in the morning, said Lady Ramkin firmly. Vimes's look of bitter determination faded. I shall sleep downstairs in the kitchen, said Lady Ramkin cheerfully. I usually have a camp bed made up down there when it's egg-laying time. Some of the females always need assistance. Don't you worry about me. You're being very helpful, Vimes muttered. I've sent Nobby down to the city to help the others set up your headquarters, said Lady Ramkin. Vimes had completely forgotten the watch house. It must have been badly damaged, he ventured. Totally destroyed, said Lady Ramkin. Just a patch of melted rock, so I'm letting you have a place in Pseudopolis Yard. Sorry. Oh, my father had property all over the city, she said. Quite useless to me, really, so I told my agent to give Sergeant Coulon the keys to the old house in Pseudopolis Yard. It'll do it good to be aired. But that area, I mean, there's real cobbles on the streets. I mean, the rent alone. I mean, Lord Vetinari won't... Don't you worry about it, she said, giving him a friendly pat. Now you really ought to get some sleep. Vimes lay in bed, his mind racing. Pseudopolis Yard was on the Ark side of the river, in quite a high-rent district. The sight of Nobby, or Sergeant Coulon, walking down the street in daylight, would probably have the same effect on the area as the opening of a plague hospital. He dozed, gliding in and out of sleep, where giant dragons pursued him, waving jars of ointment, and awoke to the sound of a mob. Lady Ramkin, drawing herself up haughtily, was not a sight to forget, although you could try. It was like watching continental drift in reverse as various subcontinents and islands pulled themselves together to form one massive, angry proto-woman.